better believe it. Another week, another show, another Monday. Welcome to Fesco and Dusty on 96.5. The Fan, Mac Morey, Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens. Damn glad to have you on a Monday morning. How many SIGs this weekend?
Oh, my gosh. I mean, before kickoff yesterday?
I mean,
the NFL, you guys yesterday, I said the NFL gave us our entire show before we even kicked off yesterday.
I was so proud of Bob.
It was wild yesterday.
Bob sent us a text, I think it was like 12:30. It was like, the rundown's complete. I was like, I almost texted Mac Priman and like, all right.
I mean,
you're the boss.
Here's how Sunday goes. You get up and Dak Prescott gets signed. Tyreek Hill gets arrested. Justin Fields gets the start, which I have a great conspiracy on. And then Brandon Ayuk's story comes out from Jay Glazer yesterday about how all that went down. And we haven't even had kickoff in a game. I mean, nothing has even kicked off yet.
And you forgot one even.
And which one was that?
Jamar Chase.
Oh, Jamar Chase.
Yeah, you found out that it causes the business to pay him if he wants to get a paycheck.
Right. Yes, exactly. And so, yeah, you had all that take place yesterday before kickoff even started, and I'm like, my God, we've got ourselves topic after topic after topic after topic yesterday, and the NFL just delivered like it always does in week one. The play, a little less to be desired. I mean, I don't think we saw many great quarterbacks perform yesterday. I don't think we saw many great teams perform yesterday, but by God, before these games even started, this is the soap opera that we love in this country.
Fantastic.
Is the NFL. Like, everybody's up talking about what's going on. I got up early yesterday. I think it was about 7 o'clock. Got up, went for a run. Got harassed on my run by my neighbor yesterday because of the KU game, which I don't appreciate, but neither here nor there. And so I get back. I'm like, all right, cool. Let me run to Hy-Vee, get some stuff, pick up my daughter, get home, sit down, start kind of, you know, getting into the mode of the game, you know, day. It's like 11 a.m. I'm like, oh my God, Tyreek Hill got arrested.
Yep.
Dak Prescott signed a contract. Like, holy cow, the NFL is just delivering awesomeness before the games even started. And then the game started, and of course, it was a very eventful NFL week one. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, there's no explanation needed as to why it is our soap opera.
It is, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And
it's reality TV at its finest, Dusty. I mean, people are trying all these like island shows and things like that. Like, the NFL is the ultimate reality TV.
Yeah, and I think that's why you see all facets of demographics.
Yep.
Like, you see 12-year-olds, you see 50-year-olds, 30-year-olds, 20-year-olds, male, female, whoever, because of how it affects everybody differently. Do you think when Tyreek went to jail, they asked him how tall he was?
No.
Fossil.
Yeah. I mean, that's how the day started yesterday.
Let's go there first.
Okay, that's how the day starts yesterday.
Let's go there first. So, wake up Sunday morning, get the good word, walk to the car, get on my phone, and out of nowhere, I see Tyreek Hill has been arrested on his way to the game. And I'm thinking to myself, golly, what now? Not only that, I mean, it's always something with Tyreek.
Always.
His entire career. And look.
Interesting, isn't it?
Right? And it's like, repeat offender. Fool me once, shame on me. Fool me twice, shame on you.
Right. You get a free pass. You
or
make
maybe
a mistake.
The other way around,
yeah.
Right?
And they
got a saying in Texas. I think it's Texas.
Yeah.
Can't get fooled again.
Yeah.
Might as well just let it with GW.
Yeah. You know what happens when you assume, right?
Yeah, that's right. So then you look at the video and you're like, okay, first off, was he speeding? Did he say, like, do you know who I am?
Well, I would imagine we had a do you know who I am drop.
Do you know how tall I am?
Right.
Yeah. And so you see that story.
Right.
And then I get home, and that's where we play into your text of, have you even like sat down yet, Dusty? Have you seen what the NFL is saying? And I'm like, and then you look at, like, Rosenhaus does an interview.
Right, which we'll get to in a minute, which was just glorious.
The guy looks like he was on a cocaine bender for 6 days in South Beach. He's sweating. Again, I know it was hot and humid in Miami yesterday. It's September. It's Miami. I get it. It wasn't that damn hot. It wasn't that humid because everybody else on the field that was talking wasn't sweating like Drew was. And he starts spitting all this stuff about how Tyreek is doing this and people are doing this. And I'm thinking to myself, what next? And then you go on to the next topic and it's
Ja'Marr Chase is actually going to play. He's not sick, and he's just going to go without the contract. It's like, really, Ja'Marr?
Yeah.
You realize that your franchise, who has been cheap their entire existence, decides when and if they pay you. That's how it works.
That's how the NFL
works. They're
going to
tell you,
yeah,
you can sit out. You'll end up looking like Deshaun. You'll end up looking like Le'Veon.
Mm-hmm.
You look like look, all these guys that decided, oh, I'm bigger than the
I'm
game.
I'm bigger
I'll
than the
out.
Game, yeah.
No, you're not. And that's the dumb reality of it, is that it sucks, but big business always wins.
Well, the game will pass you by really, really
fast.
I mean, again, you ask Le'Veon Bell, you ask Deshaun Watson, you want to take a year off.
Kareem Hunt.
Yeah, fine. Yeah. You go take a year off. You're never getting back to the level that you were. And we're not talking about injury type stuff where you have to fight back and rehab yourself. We're talking about people who just decided, well, contract-wise or Deshaun Watson being a creep, that you're going to get the entire year off. You never get it back in the NFL. The game passes you by just like that. And Ja'Marr Chase, if you want to sit out and do your thing, man,
which he's not going to do,
but that would have been a grave mistake to sit out for an entire year or even a game for that matter. I mean, Cincinnati looked terrible with Ja'Marr Chase yesterday. And so, I mean, so Ja'Marr Chase decides he's going to play. Did he? I don't know. T. Higgins doesn't play, obviously,
well,
in yesterday's game. He's all banged up. And Cincinnati looked like the most pedestrian team that I think we've ever seen.
Hold on to that one, because we'll get into that a little bit later. We got 4 hours, right? We'll get into Cincinnati because that was hilarious.
Oh, my God.
That was New England.
How many people lost their survivor pool yesterday,
Everybody.
Right?
Like Matt didn't even try out for it. He just left his name blank.
I didn't even see there was that. Was there a game inspector's office? Oh, I didn't get a memo on that one.
Yeah.
I didn't see that.
Was there, check the schedule?
No. Was there an email? I don't see that kind of stuff.
The other thing that's interesting about yesterday is that I think Dak knew the whole time. So hear me out. I think the Dallas Cowboys plan on dropping this bomb.
Oh, yeah, Dak signed. Yeah.
We're still going.
Yeah.
And I think Dak knew the whole time he was getting signed right before week one, because to me, maybe I wasn't like ear to the wall with Dallas news, but that seemed like a situation. Now, we were talking about how Jerry Jones, like, we wait till the last leave to fall, making fun of him being, the Whataburger and the paper sack. But, like, I feel like he and Dak were on an agreement where Jerry Jones, who I think is in love with theatricals.
Oh, there's no question.
Right?
That's his thing.
So
he likes the show. He's a showman.
And I think he told Dak from the get-go, we're going to sign you right before Sunday starts. Now listen to me, Dak. How cool is this? We get Tom first game as an announcer. We play at 3 on national television. And then you get your contract that takes over noon. Because they were doing interviews with Dak Prescott on Fox.
And he already knew.
How did they record the interview on Saturday?
That interview with Aaron Andrews was, that may have been recorded on Friday or even earlier in the week. It felt like Dak Prescott knew he was going to be the highest paid player in the NFL. No, it's not.
They knew ahead of time. So that's why you didn't see I just won't play. Dak knew since last week he was getting paid.
Oh, yeah.
And they were going to drop it right before, because Jerry Jones is like, we don't play at noon, but watch this. We'll be the talk before the new game.
Of course.
We get Tom Brady's first announcing job. Did well.
Right.
He
was okay.
Give the guy a break his first game.
Did you listen to Colt McCoy's first game?
Not great.
Holy cow, was that awful.
And then they get to play at 3:25, and then they're Dallas, and they get to steal the entire Sunday because the best player in the league didn't play, the best team in the league didn't play,
right,
and the defending champions times 2 going for 3 didn't play.
Right.
So who stole Sunday?
Well, of course they
Dallas
did.
Cowboys.
Dallas did, because that's what Jerry Jones is all about. He's a modern-day P.T. Barnum. That's why I've said that for years.
Him.
I mean, he throws up a 3-ring circus, and people pay money, and they show up, and they go 9-8, and they lose in the playoffs, and they've paid their quarterback the highest amount in the NFL. I mean, his comments before the game were funny, too, going, well, I know I may not be the best, but I'm the next, and that's how it works in this league. And I'm like, okay, at least you're on that same wavelength, that you're the next, so you're getting paid. And I mean, it was incredible, obviously, to see him get the biggest contract in the history of the NFL, the most guaranteed money, all that kind of stuff. But again, he's the next. It doesn't mean that he's the best, but that's how you do steal the spotlight if you're Jerry Jones. Jerry Jones, if anything, has been a great showman, and that's part of the reason, and he's a big reason, I should say, why the NFL is as big as it is and the soap opera that it is. Like, we can sit here and mock Jerry Jones, but he understands what this league is all about, maybe better than any other owner. It's about putting on the show, getting people interested, getting people enticed, and keeping people glued to their TV sets. And Jerry Jones has done a masterful job at that. That team hasn't won a playoff game since before Mac was alive, okay? That's how long it's been since Dallas has been relevant in the postseason. And now we're looking at a team that every time you turn on the TV, even though they haven't had the success on the field, they do a masterful job of marketing who they are. Mm-hmm. And that's why they're America's team, because every time you turn around and you need something,
yep,
there's Dallas and Jerry Jones delivering you the news yesterday. And all of that was definitely planned out, so it could be the spotlight stealer on opening
100%.
Day. And I like the fact that you came to that conclusion without even talking to me, because I would have told you that anyway.
Yeah.
That's the tinfoil hat. That's the thing I think a lot of sports fans sometimes lose.
Right.
This is a business. This is a show. Oh, and then there's a football game that's attached to it that we're watching later on in the day, right?
That's right.
It's all about generating money. It's all about generating eyeballs. It's all about getting that attention. And Jerry Jones did a masterclass in that yesterday, because Dallas, in a week one that was eventful but not aesthetically pleasing, Dallas clearly stole the spotlight. They right. look like a good team, beating an alleged Browns team that people thought was good. They signed their quarterback. Tom Brady's on the game. And boom, there you sit. Dallas definitely stole the show yesterday.
We'll get into Dak's contract in a little bit. We'll get into overreaction Monday as well. Plus, well, Mac, unfortunately, we have to give Bob his flowers because he was right.
About what?
Well, about ratings. Yeah. We've got to give you, we got to be respectful. We're a team here, and we'll always praise the other guy when they're right. Which we love it when we're wrong more than we're right.
That's absolutely.
Just, that's the sick part of it.
Yeah.
But I will say this. The other thing that was interesting about week one is we have a little bit of time. Russell Wilson, just last minute, has a foot injury or a calf injury, and Justin Fields gets the start. But yet Russ knew he wasn't playing, but still put the eye black on.
That was weird, too. Like enough with this kid in Nebraska being weird. You're not playing, and you still put the uniform on yesterday?
You know you're ruled out. You're inactive. Yet, eye black? Well,
he's weird.
That
too,
guy
man.
Sucks, dude.
He is like, just the worst.
What are you putting eye black on for? You're literally inactive.
You're not playing.
You never know. No, we do know. You cannot play.
You're inactive. You're not the emergency three. You
Lady
can't play.
Lady Wilson's boyfriend has a better chance of playing than you. Duck Hodges, how you throwing? That's a scoop. Good for him, by the way. But yeah, Russell Wilson just continues to suck.
Yeah, he really does. Yeah.
Am I wrong? Was he not inactive?
No, he was inactive yesterday. He was not playing
pads,
yesterday. Yeah.
Fresh cut?
Yeah.
Can't play future.
Yeah, what are you doing, man? Put on a pair of sweatpants and stand.
I did think it was interesting, though, Bob, is we still have one more game left tonight, which we will all be watching because it's ayahuasca versus Brock Purdy.
Right.
And the NFL's first game ended with a toe.
Right.
And its last game ended with an overtime win.
Yeah.
Pretty solid Sunday.
Pretty solid. Cool. Pretty solid week one. Yeah, but who knows what tonight's going to bring?
Can't wait.
Jets in and of themselves could put on a show like we've already seen.
That's right. We'll dive more into
who's getting hurt on the Jets at the end of the season.
Don't put that on his name. We'll get back into overreaction Monday, plus a little bit more of the contract. Mac Morey, Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens. You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home. K-6.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5 The Fan.
Welcome back into 96.5 The Fan. I'm Dusty Likens, joined by Bob Fesco, our executive producer and fantasy football show host on Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. You better listen to it. It's on the same station on 96.5 The Fan. How did that go, by the way? Faster than you thought?
It flew by, like you said. I didn't realize. I was like, yeah, okay, cool.
You
whatever,
drove home like Andy Dufresne, a free man, just top down, sunglasses on, no care in the world.
Dude, it was awesome, man.
I got my picks in. I'm ready to go.
Heck yeah, man. It's my first live show I ever hosted, so it was great.
Awesome, really man. Excited. Congratulations for you. We'll be looking forward to more of those in the future. I know Binkley came on after you. Was he here before you, though? That's the million-dollar question.
I got here like 8:05. He was there like 8:08.
There you go. Perfect. Yep, absolutely. Way to go, Jay. We'll talk to Binkley on Wednesday. He was watching college football over the weekend.
Mac lost two cherries in 1 week.
Wow. What was the other one? Oh, the Chiefs game. Chiefs game. Man, big weekend for you. Yeah. And then you got to go to the old dinner theater. How was that? Was that good? Did you have
fantastic?
Did you have stroganoff or sherbet or what did you have?
I like both of those things.
Tapioca.
So you'll get no backlash from me. Like if you gave me orange sherbet and hamburger helper beef stroganoff,
you're in on that.
Yeah.
I'd pass up on the orange sherbet. I'd go for like a strawberry sherbet.
I like the orange or the lime.
Oh, see, I like a strawberry. Anything red is good.
You ever taken a scoop of orange, scoop of lime, and then poured a little Sprite?
No.
Ooh, that's sounds good.
That sounds like it.
Brioche.
Yeah, that really does sound brioche. Yeah.
Straight up.
I think like that's almost like too soury for me. I don't think I'd. So what was the food spread like? Did they have like carrot raisin salad?
Dude, they actually have tapioca. Good stuff. I think you guys would be impressed.
No, I hear the food is good. I'm asking.
I was never. I just thought maybe it was like a Luby's Cafe.
Yeah. Like, I mean, it's like serve yourself. You know, you go in line. You know,
so
you,
a buffet. I hate
buffet
buffets.
Type thing. Yeah, I know. A little germaphobe. Tough. I get that. Yeah. Really good bread. Good steak. Mashed potatoes.
Steak
pasta.
At a buffet. I like it. Yeah. Yeah. How many slices did you have? To get a couple, get a couple of fillets.
We made them extra sloppy for you. Exactly.
Chill out, lady. You're scaring us.
Yeah. A few Moscow mules.
Did you gnaw that mole off her chin?
come on. Okay, let's get into Overreaction Monday here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan. You're home for Kansas City sports. Is Michael Penix, should he be the starter?
It's Penix time in ATL, man. How bad did Kirk Cousins look over the weekend, right?
Not
he
great.
Did not look good. They lost to Pittsburgh. Mike Tomlin for life, baby.
Okay.
They gave up 6 field goals. Pittsburgh didn't score a touchdown, and they lost the game. And that's your $180 million quarterback
that's
out
right.
there. He was the difference, guys, between Atlanta being a whatever they were and being a playoff team. Kirk Cousins, I don't know, man. I'm going to tell you what. The clock is starting to tick on Penix time down in the ATL.
Is that an indication of...
Kirk Cousins had 155 yards passing yesterday.
Is that an indication of what the Achilles injury can be post-stop at that age?
Oh, that's interesting. Are you saying we may see that tonight?
Like, are we going to see like a sluggish of it? Because what... Kirk Cousins is a little bit younger than Aaron, right?
A little bit younger.
Not a little bit younger. He's a good amount of years younger. Football years a lot.
Four or five for sure. The difference is Kirk tore his Achilles in week 8.
Correct.
Aaron Rodgers week 1. So 2 months of recovery is difference. Yeah. Okay. That's the big difference.
Yeah, we'll see, though. I mean, still, you're playing with an Achilles. I mean, we'll talk to DJ coming up at 7:30. And, you know, when he was rehabbing, it was his Achilles, I think.
No, he ruptured his.
He talked about, we can talk to him about the rehab and what that takes.
Yeah.
Because I remember he had said, and Mike DeVito had said at the time, if they weren't doing it together, they probably never would have made it through that rehab. That's how intense and stressful and painful and hard that rehab is for the Achilles. So, I mean, I think it'd be good to talk to DJ to find out what that's like playing on that Achilles and when you can start to trust that too, you know?
Yeah, and to your point, it just didn't really look like he could move. The Falcons were in pistol or shotgun on 96% of their snaps, no designed runs. That just means he can't go under center to turn around and take those steps confidently to hand the ball off.
Well, that was a bad display, and I'm going to tell you what. You know, I like Michael Penix, so the Penix clock is now ticking. If he goes out there and has another bad game, don't you think the Atlanta fans are going to be banging on the table and banging the drum for Michael Penix Jr.? I mean, that's why you go and draft him. You know, Atlanta made that signing and then immediately drafted Michael Penix Jr. Maybe he got in there after they signed him and they went, uh-oh.
Well, Atlanta's getting ready to start 0-2 and could be 0-3 because they play Philadelphia on Monday night and they get the big bad boys of the AFC West week 3.
Yeah,
so.
week 3. I mean, Atlanta, a week ago, people were like, oh, Atlanta's going to win that division. Oh my God, they're so good.
Nah,
Atlanta
dude.
May start the season 0-3.
Carolina.
Carolina. Let's get to that one real fast.
Okay.
That may be the worst
what
team I've ever seen.
Is there for Carolina?
No, there's
that they're going to win 3 games?
That's overreaction. Yeah, right. Yeah, like that. That was the worst team that I've seen play football
in a very long time.
They were absolute
2012
dog
Chiefs are up there.
Yeah.
That team that went winless with Calvin Johnson's up there.
No, but this Carolina team, I'm rooting for them to go winless. Like, if you're going to be bad, be historically bad. The White Sox need 9 more wins in their final 19 to not set the record for the most losses in the history. They're not getting that.
No.
They're not going 9-10. Like, if you're going to be bad, just be historically bad. And if you're Carolina, go 0-17, man. There's no, I mean, for the players, I know they'd like to win a game or something, but for the franchise, there's nothing to benefit by going 2-15. There really isn't. Go 0-17.
Would love that.
Not that there's a great quarterback in this year's college draft that you can take, but my God, go 0-17, man.
Yeah. Travis Etienne really cost the Jaguars a big one yesterday, as there was some drama in that Miami game that we got to earlier. We'll get back into that as well, because it's just hilarious to me.
It's wonderful, but I think Travis Etienne fumbled away the season for the Jags yesterday.
I
think that is a season-altering fumble, and I don't know that it's going to be one that the Jags can recover from. You're going in to open, what, like a 3-score lead over the Dolphins late in the game. You fumble the football at the 2, goes into the back of the end zone. Next play, 80 yards, Tyreek Hill, touchdown. That game was over. Etienne fumbled away that season for Jacksonville. I don't know that they're going to be able to recover from that. Overreaction or truth, I don't know. I've seen this show before where you just gag one away like that, and you're never able to get your feet back under you. So, man, I think Jacksonville just kind of screwed the pooch on that one.
They get Cleveland at home next week, and then they play at Buffalo with that doubleheader on Monday night, which I hate.
I'm with you on that. Like, it's a random week 3 doubleheader on Monday. Yeah.
I mean, the night game is Washington and Cincinnati. Both teams are going to be 0-2. Jacksonville and Buffalo are going to play. Both teams will be 1-1. Depends on how late you want to stay up that night. I don't know if ETN, I don't know if you fumble away their season, but, I mean, look, that's one of those games when you look at the schedule, like, how can we steal one? Where if you're a Jacksonville fan, you're probably like, that's probably a loss in Miami week 1, that offense, yeah, whatever. But if you can steal a game, that's where you steal it. So that's one of those games that at the end of the season, unfortunately, when you go back and look at the schedule, that's an AFC matchup.
Yeah, it's not a huge loss.
Not a divisional matchup, but that's an AFC matchup. That's a tiebreaker implication. And that's a game that you could have stolen away from, especially seeing when Tyreek Hill got arrested in what was a tank top, jeans, and a choker necklace.
Right.
Interesting choice at the age of 30.
Right. But you're up 17-7 at that point.
Right.
You're getting ready to go up 24-7.
Mm-hmm.
That game is cooked. That game is done.
Nice.
And you fumble it away, and then the next play is a touchdown. Now it's 17-14, and you just saw where that was going. Jacksonville never stood a chance.
By the way, from the text line, guys, Russell Wilson could have played yesterday. He was listed as the emergency third quarterback. He was actually active. That's why he was in uniform. Thanks, Coach. We get back into Overreaction Monday. Josh Allen's your front runner for MVP.
Not me.
That's Mac.
That's Mac.
It's me.
Okay.
Josh Allen's it. My guy was Jordan Love. Obviously got hurt. He's going to miss 3 to 4 weeks. Going to be kind of tough to win it with missing a month.
He ain't winning it now.
No, he's exactly. Not winning it.
Jalen Hurts missed 1 week against Patrick Mahomes, and
you're done. So that takes out the window. Sucks because he got hurt. But Josh Allen, I think he's going to have to do it all this season. I mean, Khalil Shakir, I mean, Keon Coleman, they just don't have a lot to go to. It's going to be Josh Allen's show.
He took over amazing. That game yesterday.
He really did.
He hurt his hand. I don't know what kind of injury that's going to be. So we'll have to see about that as we progress through a Monday morning. But Josh Allen got the hand injury. And, I mean, he had to be that good yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to be that good for 17 straight weeks and just be the only option that you have on offense. They better find something else, otherwise they're going to be playing tiddlywinks in January.
Mac, take a lap, take a kneel, take a bow, whatever it is. Sam Darnold, you were right.
Sam Darnold,
he
baby.
Played the Giants.
I don't care. He was 12 for 12 with 125. I don't care if you're playing the Giants, Chiefs, Browns, or Titans.
I don't care.
You go 12 for 12. That's impressive.
It was a real impressive start, but as bad as Carolina is, the Giants are going to challenge Carolina for the
worst
team.
Well, you knew the Giants were losing as soon as they put those jerseys on.
I liked them, actually. Nobody else did.
Yeah. Hot take.
I liked them. I think it's neat.
They were ass.
They were so bad.
They looked like Buffalo, Kansas Jayhawks, and the Green Bay Packers pants had a child.
Yeah, yes. Well, they're gross. Also 100 years old. But at least
the helmet didn't match, the jersey didn't match, the pants didn't match. Hey, well, it matched the talent on the field.
It did, but that was the jerseys in 1924, you know? Like, so they threw it back. At least they got something different, man. The Chiefs could stand a little, a little different in their uniforms.
My overreaction with the Giants game is that Daboll is going to get fired before the second month of the season.
He may get fired real fast, yeah.
He's got one decision to make everybody happy, and that's bench Daniel Jones.
You got to bench Daniel Jones. You can't continue to roll him out there. He sucks.
Sorry. Yeah. It ain't happening.
No, he's got to go.
You got
to move on from that mess.
But I might be jealous that he's dating Kay Adams. It is what it is. But that guy sucks.
Yeah, he's got to go.
Good.
No, he's never been good. And that's the problem. They paid him when they didn't have to pay him. So now you're stuck in a contract. I'd rather see you let a player go than sign a player to a contract that will make no sense later. Cleveland, the Giants, the list goes on and on of people we have seen get paid in the NFL or even at major league. League Baseball, those 10-year deals for Albert Pujols and company that make no sense whatsoever after they sign him. But you get FOMO, and the Giants got FOMO with Daniel Jones for whatever reason, because he won a playoff game a couple of years ago, signed him to that long-term contract. Now they're kind of stuck with him. But you know what? Be like the Denver Broncos and just eat a bad contract, man. Just let that guy go and find yourself a replacement. My dad's texted me yesterday, it's time for DeVito. Like, I mean, this is where we are already. Even Giant fans, it's time for DeVito again.
Time for Drew Lock.
But who's the quarterback this year coming out of college? Is it Carolina or the Giants or anybody who's going to need a quarterback?
Quinn Ewers or Carson Beck?
Yep. Is Quinn Ewers legit, though? When was the last time a Texas quarterback
went into the NFL? A Texas Tech quarterback went into the NFL. You know what
True,
I mean?
True, that's a fair point.
I don't like that. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. No, but that's a fair point. I know we always do that, but like Texas has been always like really good college quarterbacks,
and then they fall on their face
in the NFL. So.
Well, he would have fit in yesterday to your theory of quarterback play.
Well, the quarterback play in the league yesterday, I mean, it shows you how good Patrick Mahomes is. Like, if you're not appreciating what Patrick Mahomes is all about after watching Week 1 of the NFL yesterday, I don't know what it's going to take for you to appreciate Patrick Mahomes.
We're so lucky.
By far the best quarterback in the NFL. It's not even close. I mean, I don't even know who's number two at this point in time.
He played like okay on Thursday, and he still looked far and away better than some of the people yesterday.
Some of this hot, all three rookies yesterday just embarrassed themselves.
Jaden Daniels had some moments.
Oh, God. They got housed by Tampa.
They did, but they did. He at least had flashes.
Yeah. They got housed.
We know this, overreaction Monday, Cincinnati is not a playoff team.
I don't know if that's necessarily an overreaction. They always seemingly start slow, though, don't they?
Yeah. They start bad.
Did you see who they lost to?
Yeah, I did. Exactly. New England, yeah.
I'm just throwing this out there. Yeah. We just poo-pooed on the Giants and the Carolina Panthers. I would hate to say it, but I would say the next worst team is probably New England. They literally said in the broadcast, you will not recognize one name we will bring up in their receiving core. That's what the broadcast said. And I'm sitting there, you know, red zoning it, and that was the quick little snidbit we got. And then I'm watching that game develop, and I'm going, what is going on here?
Like, they won.
And they ended up winning the game with a bunch of nobodies against Cincinnati, who's supposed to be a somebody. And you lose that game to New England, now you've got to go win one that you probably weren't supposed to, which, again, some people would say, oh, the biggest thing that could happen this week is Cincinnati lost. Now they're going to come to Kansas City all pissed off.
Oh, God, yeah, you're seeing that already.
No,
yeah,
they're not.
You're seeing that already.
I just watched one team on Thursday night clearly prove that they are significantly better than everybody else. The AFC is a conglomerate of the same team, and there's one that's not the same, and it's Kansas City.
It's Kansas City. I don't know what I was watching yesterday or who I heard say this, but it was really good, and somebody said, I think it was McCourty on Sunday Night Football, Football Night in America, but I could be wrong on that one. Again, I want to give credit where credit's due because it was a really good statement. They go, we got to stop talking about Joe Burrow beating the Chiefs that one time at Arrowhead. Like, we got to stop talking about that game. That game doesn't mean anything anymore. The Chiefs are the best team in the AFC. And I can't remember who said that yesterday. I'm like, you're absolutely right. We have been crowning Joe Burrow in Cincinnati because of a win 3 years ago at Arrowhead Stadium. Since then, the Chiefs have gone on to win two Super Bowls and are going for their third, but yet everybody wants to go back to that playoff game and say, well, this is why Joe Burrow and company are as good as the Chiefs, because they beat them at Arrowhead some 3 years ago in the postseason, and they're like, we got to stop talking about that game.
The only reason I won't hit the panic button after they lose to the Chiefs is because their next two games are the aforementioned Commanders and Panthers. And then 2 weeks after that, they have the Giants, three of the four worst teams.
So
they're going to play.
They've got an opportunity to start 0-2, then be 3-2 after their first five or something like that. Cincinnati seemingly always starts slow. But, I mean, you got to beat New England in the opener. My God, that team's not even trying.
I felt like that was a free space on the bingo card.
That's why you can't take those free spaces on the bingo card that way. I mean, the one thing we've learned about the NFL is you don't know anything about the NFL until these games start.
Feels good to have it back.
Oh, God, does it. Yeah.
So good.
And I want to go over this one real fast. Mm. Do you think TJ's better than JJ, Mac?
Yes.
I think so.
Dude took over a game yesterday. I mean, he wrecked the game. He's the best defensive player by far in the NFL. It's not
probably
close.
One of the best you've seen since Aaron Donald.
Yeah.
Literally. Yeah.
I mean, he dominated that game
yesterday.
No,
he's the better brother. I had that conversation last year on my show. I said, is TJ Watt now better than JJ Watt, or does he need – and if you look up their sacks, and we can do this later, they're very close. He's clearly going to take the lead, but he's definitely the better brother. Yeah. It's not a debate anymore.
Well, seriously, though, I mean, I know Aaron Donald was good. I guess the Rams for me are a part of my life that I, Since 1989, I've never liked the Rams, okay? I just absolutely despise the Rams. Just hate them, right? I never really pay attention to what they do. I love Sean McVay. He's an unbelievable head coach, my guy. But I don't like the franchise. Just never have, right? Flipper Anderson scoring a touchdown, running up the tunnel. So, to me, the Rams are just a team I've never paid attention to all that much. I don't ever recall watching Aaron Donald destroy a game like I saw T.J. Watt do yesterday. And maybe he did. Again, I'm speaking from a bias. I never really paid much attention to the Rams.
I'd give you three.
But
Super Bowl.
Yeah, the Super Bowl. Yeah,
he did
shut down the Super Bowl. You're right.
Give me my ring now.
Yeah, you're right. But that was also the Super Bowl after the Chiefs lost to the Bengals, and I don't think any of us were really paying much attention to that game.
Come on.
No, I don't know that. It was on. I passively watched that game.
No, same.
You know?
I did too.
I was pissed. Yeah, I was just there. I had no interest in that game.
Yeah, well, look where you are now.
And it ended up being a terrible Super Bowl, like a 13-9 final. It wasn't entertaining, so we all got our wish. But T.J. Watt yesterday just absolutely wrecked a game by himself. Yeah. He's the reason why Pittsburgh won that game yesterday.
Yeah, him and Boswell.
Yeah, that's true. Boswell,
that guy parked like 8 field goals yesterday, like 3 from the 50. They had like 20 points as a fantasy kicker.
Somebody kept saying yesterday, like, I don't remember the last time Boswell had a game like this. And my friend Kurt Nelson's like, we do. Yeah, like, we watched that here.
Yeah. I mean, 2017. Yeah.
Unbelievable.
I was at that game, Alex.
One of the most bizarre football games ever.
There was a ice storm that was supposed to happen.
Remember they delayed the game that they never did. And then there was a holding penalty that they called on Eric Fisher that never happened. Yeah.
And then they kicked six field goals
and won the game. Was 18-14, 18-15?
18-16.
18-16, something stupid like that. God.
Couldn't see it. Dak contract yesterday obviously was going to happen the whole time. And I think that we talked about this earlier with the...
That's the thing with the script. They let that out of the bag in the pregame show, you know?
Yeah.
If you're going to use the script, you got to bag that interview. I mean, we all know there's a script there.
That's what I was kind of confused about, because that's where, as I'm driving into work, I do it all the time. Coffee's flowing, radio's on faintly. And I'm thinking to myself, like, what are the, out of the NFL weekend, how great it was, like, Dallas knew. Like, Jerry knew, and Jerry wanted to dominate Sunday.
Yes.
Because there was none of this. Like, you look at the contract dispute between Ja'Marr Chase and Cincinnati.
That's a nasty dispute.
Those are two sides that are literally arguing with each other of, like, pay me, and they're like, we have another year. But you're going to pay me anyway? Yes, but we're not going to pay you yet. Random. The other thing, too, is you look at Dallas and Dak, and it was never like, I'm not going to play until I get my contract. Are you worried? No. And then CeeDee Lamb gets signed a week ago, and then Dak gets signed 7 hours before kickoff.
That's right.
And now Micah Parsons is the one guy out of the loop, and we all know that Micah Parsons is going to get paid. It's just a matter of when.
When?
And Jerry loves himself some theatrical
moments.
You think
he does it today before the Aaron Rodgers return?
Ooh. No, I think he'll do it. What are they playing next week? They have another 3 o'clock start, always.
The Chiefs are at 3:25 against the Bengals next week. That's the big game of the weekend. Yeah. That could potentially steal the spotlight. Maybe he swoops in next week.
Dallas plays the Saints at noon. So doesn't need to steal the spotlight. But
well, it's a noon game against the Saints.
Nah, you don't need to steal the spotlight there. I don't know. I think Micah gets signed in the offseason. Because now what you say is you're like, look, we've proven to you that we've paid our two guys that we said we needed to pay. You're the third. We'll get there. Just play. I promise you, you're going to get your contract hurt or not.
And if I'm Micah Parsons, I go, I ain't taking your word on anything. You know, like, lie right to his face.
That's
fair. I'd like to get Micah Parsons here. Like, you let him walk. My goodness, let's go. Would you trade Carson Steele straight up for Micah Parsons?
I'm not even going to attack that. It's obvious.
The animal steel is untouchable. Okay. You know this, Bob.
Right. Would you trade Juju Smith-Schuster right now for Micah Parsons?
Would you trade Carl Loftus and a second-round pick for Micah Parsons?
Yeah.
In a heartbeat.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Easy.
Yeah.
Easy. Talking about T.J. Watt, I think Parsons, you know, maybe not two, but is he three? Is he four? I mean, he's a top-five defender.
I'm glad the Dolphins paid Jalen Ramsey just to watch him get cooked yesterday.
Gosh, yes.
Some mahi-mahi on that field.
I'm going to tell you, you hit that 30-year-old mark, man. Gotta stop paying, guys.
And then before we get out of here, you were right. NBC announced over the weekend that the NBC game that was Thursday Night Football, Ravens Chiefs season opener, averaged 28.9 million across all platforms, making it the most watched NFL game ever.
Yeah. Regular season opener, biggest of all time.
You
right?
want to know why it's on Peacock and Apple TV, which, God, the Royals and Apple TV really killed me.
Hang on a second. We'll get to the Royals in our next, but that Apple TV, that's like watching a high school broadcast.
Brutal.
I mean, it's awful.
If you're going to pick it up, pick it up.
It's worse than Colt McCoy.
Mm.
And he stunk.
That's right.
So, yeah, that Apple TV thing was, ugh.
Yeah.
But the Netflix thing is interesting because I was told that they would not sign a deal with the NFL unless they were guaranteed the Chiefs.
Ah. Wow. Fair enough.
So they signed the deal because they were guaranteed the Chiefs.
I mean, you watched the teams yesterday. It's not a lot of fun.
It's such a separation, yeah, guys. It really is. Like, if we're not all realizing that right now, I don't know what more to tell you. We are so much better than every other team in this league. It's not even close. And I know it was a close game against Baltimore. Baltimore's the second best team in the AFC, and it's not even close. They may be the second best team in the NFL right now, and it's not even close. Those were your two best teams that played on Thursday, and the Chiefs won by a touchdown in a league where the average win is about 3 or 4 points. They
chalk
dominated
that up for
that
things
game.
You love to see.
God.
Speaking of that, sweeps. That's what we love to see. We'll dive into the Royals on the other side. 96.5 The Fan, you're listening to Fesco and Dusty, and you're home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan.
Now the 0-1, and he swings, chops it up the third baseline. Slow roller. It's going to stay fair, untouched. A run scores. A Salvi infield RBI single. It's 2-0. He couldn't have done that any better with a pool cue.
I love that line.
It's a really good one there from Steve Stewart.
I was really hoping we were going to get a Denny Matthews drop there. Didn't get one. We'll dive back into football, and it's kind of crazy how here we are, 6:47. We've been on the air for 47 minutes. We finally get to this Royal stuff.
Yeah.
I love the 913. Finally, Royals time. Look, hey, man. You're talking to the captain of the Royal Caribbean cruise ship here, baby. I'm the one that told a text line of people a week ago on a rant that everything was going to be all right. Still going to get into the playoffs. Are we all on the same page now?
Like, if you don't think the Royals are getting to the playoffs now, what more do you need to see, right?
Are we all on the same page now? Can we all relax and understand that the Royals are a playoff team?
That's
because
right.
Now you can follow us on Instagram or X on 96.5 The Fan or The Fan 96.5. They got magic numbers, right? You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan. We'll give you the magic numbers. I believe there's 19 games left of the season. I think they just completed game number 143.
Mm-hmm.
The Royals are a playoff team. The Royals did exactly what a lot of you wanted. Unfortunately, it happened on the opening weekend of the NFL.
Right, exactly.
So that's the only downside that happened for the Royals this weekend.
The NFL showed back up.
The NFL popped up, and as we knew it would, as we've seen it before, that's just what it does. It dominates sports.
Mm-hmm.
And while it dominated sports, a lot of you, unlike me, probably just ignored baseball. But if there's one thing that Joshua Vermeer has told you, who will be on the show at 8:30, every single minute of his flipping life this year, there is the recipe the Royals have that are going to make them successful. And that is quite simply pitching, defense, and speed.
Yep.
And this weekend, your Kansas City Royals pitching rotation was elite, electric, and the best pitching staff in baseball. Their ERA over the three games was zero. That's a zero. That's a goose egg, 0.67. They pitched 27 innings. Obviously, they had 30 strikeouts. They allowed 2 walks all weekend. They had a whip of 0.59, and the opponent's average, those Minnesota Twins, had an opponent's average of 154. They shut the Twins out in games 2 and 3, and if there's one thing that I was evidently obvious, you have your pitching rotation set for the playoffs. You will go into the playoffs, which right now I think you would play the Baltimore Orioles in Baltimore. Top two teams get a bye, and then you go by seeding.
Yeah.
And you will take into the playoffs Lugo, Reagans, Waka. That's your playoff rotation. That's your three-headed monster. After that, figure it out if you can get past the first round. But your three pitchers that were that dominant this weekend were Lugo, Reagans, Waka. I was texting Henry Lake, Minnesota guy. We have a season-long bet that I might have just won.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, yeah. 24 beers from Minnesota Brewery.
Oh, I like that.
He was going to get 24 from Boulevard. Now I text him last night. I text him Tuesday night after.
Get a little of that Sweet Child Divine, which is really good. I like their brewery.
I texted Henry the Taylor Swift emoji with the heart on Saturday, and he just said, yeah, Reagan's is dealing. And then I sent him a broom on Sunday. He says, damn it, all right, we'll get you that bet.
Yeah.
And that's what you wanted. You wanted to see the Royals play a team in a situation like that, and we'll get into what is next, because I know there's a lot of people, well, now they're going to go play the Yankees.
Yeah, right.
Let's just have
why is everybody like that, though? Why not just embrace, you know, what we have going on? Who cares who they're going to play next? Like, enjoy what was a weekend where the Royals looked out of it on Saturday. They came back late. They won a game. They won a game on high school TV on Friday. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, they finished off the sweep yesterday against the Minnesota Twins, a team that was ahead of you in the standings. And obviously, the Twins are not playing great baseball right now, but still, they were ahead of you in the standings. The Royals went in there and took business. I'm looking at the thing right now, but this can't be right because it has the Royals as the sixth seed right now, taking on Houston. But that to me, I don't think that is actually correct right now. I'm looking for if the season ended today, you know, who these guys would play.
Well, your top two teams right now are Yankees and Cleveland.
Yankees and Cleveland would have a bye. So who is the next team? The third team
would
be the Houston Astros. But the Royals aren't the sixth wild card team now. So
they would play Minnesota and you would play Baltimore.
You would play Baltimore, yeah. So not a great matchup as we know, but that doesn't matter. That matchup
You had two wins that you blew in the ninth inning.
Right, exactly. So, and Will Smith is nowhere to be found.
Right.
And he was the guy blowing those games early on against Baltimore. But, you know, this series against the Yankees, this is a playoff series right now, right? I mean, this is a team that you're going against that's going to the postseason.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if Minnesota's going to go to the postseason. Detroit may end up catching Minnesota, and Minnesota may be on the outside looking in because that's the style of baseball that they're playing right now. Not real good. And Detroit is playing some really good baseball right now, and they're making a little bit of a run right now. So if you're the Minnesota Twins, it's no longer worrying about the Kansas City Royals or the Cleveland Guardians. You now need to hold off the Detroit Tigers because they're making a push at this thing. But I think what we learned over the weekend is that the Royals stepped it up when they needed to step it up. And that's what you want. They're at 79 wins, guys. They're pushing 80 wins right now. And you go to New York, hey, maybe you take two out of three from the Yankees. Maybe you get a sweep from the Yankees. The Yankees are in a little bit of disarray right now, losing to the Chicago Cubs. They put Nestor Cortez in the bullpen. He's not happy about that. He's voicing his displeasure. Mm-hmm. They can't seemingly get hits right now. Everybody in New York wants everybody fired and everybody benched. So this is the perfect series right now for the Royals to have. A Yankee team that's coming off a rough series in Chicago. People are fighting inside the clubhouse there in New York. The Nestor Cortez situation is brewing. He doesn't like his role. What's going to happen, you know, with all of that? So the Royals are riding a heater into New York for three games. And this is postseason baseball, guys, for the next three nights. I know we got the Jets and the Niners tonight, and the NFL likes to dominate. But for the next three nights, we have postseason baseball. Let's see what these guys are all about. Get a break on Thursday, play Pittsburgh, and then a week from today, you're taking on the Tigers.
Yeah, and you'll get that vibe for sure because, I mean, this is, you know, as of right now, you're 2.5 out of the division, right? You can still win your division.
Yeah.
That's not a huge ask
not
to
at
do.
All.
But you're 2.5 out of your division. The only problem is that you know who the Cleveland Guardians get to play.
They get the White Sox this week. Yeah, they begin. Yeah. They have the White Sox for three.
They're about to go do their thing, and you get the Yankees, which is you know.
But the
no
White Sox won yesterday, Dusty.
Mm-hmm. And not only that, don't look now. If the Royals can go into New York and sweep the Yankees, they'll have the same record as the New York Yankees.
Yeah. The Yankees would play, you're right, the Yankees would play the Orioles in the first round, and the winner of that series would get the Yankees in the next round.
You mean what?
The Royals would play the Orioles in the first round, then they would get the winner of that series, Royals-Orioles, gets the Yankees in the second round.
Right. So as of right now, that's why these three games, you want to feel it, you want to know what it's going to be like, you want to put your team on the map, because
there's no bigger stage in baseball than October at Yankee Stadium.
And this is your roster.
Right.
And, you know, we'll dive more into the Royals with Vernon at 8:30, but this is your roster going into the playoffs because, look, I know that there are new additions, but it seems like it took a week to kind of be like, hey, guys, you're in this with us. And now Tommy Pham is your leadoff hitter. And what's one thing everybody has been begging all year to have?
A leadoff hitter. Tommy Pham's doing a nice job.
Unfortunately, to lose Vinny, you fortunately gained some guys that have experience and hunger as well, and they have filled a void that you've needed. It's not 96 RBI at the fourth spot in the lineup or the third spot in the lineup, but it's a leadoff hitter that sets the table for Bobby Witt Jr., who can be effective that way.
Well, and that's where Bobby Witt is obviously his most effective. When that leadoff hitter gets on, it's automatic runs. And, you know, we talked to Q about that early in the season. I said, I feel like, you know, every time that you get your leadoff guy on, it's automatic run and Bobby's going to get hit. And he's like, well, I'm glad you feel that way. But that's kind of the way it is.
Right.
It's instant offense right now. If Tommy Pham leads off with a walk, with a hit, whatever the case may be, he's on base. You got to run around with nobody out. Here comes Bobby Witt up after that. That guy's automatic offense for your team. Mm. And so you get somebody on base early. That's why I thought Michael Garcia was really good early on. He was getting on base. They were generating instant offense right away with Bobby Witt up there. So yeah, you've lost Vinny and it stinks right now, but Tommy Pham's been a really nice addition to this ball club. And sometimes you need that veteran presence that maybe the Royals were lacking at the top of that lineup. So I like the way it's shaping out right now. And dare I say this, because I'm, you know, whatever. The only team right now that I'm truly scared of for the Royals is Houston. And other than that, like, Cleveland doesn't scare me if they have to have a matchup with Cleveland. The Orioles right now do not scare me if they have to have a matchup with them. We'll see more about the Yankees tonight, obviously. They came here, took, what, 3-4, 2-3 from the Royals earlier, in June, or yeah, I guess it was the beginning, in the middle of June when they came here to Kansas City. But the Royals are a completely different team right now than they were back then. So how do they handle the moment? I don't think it's going to be too big for them either. You know, you can't go into New York and be scared. Oh, my God, at Yankee Stadium, there's 50,000 fans here for a Monday night game. Like, it's going to be the biggest stage that they've played on until they get to the postseason. But this is a good way to kind of simulate the postseason. And if I'm Q, maybe I'm managing these games a little bit more like the postseason, but he's kind of been managing those games like the postseason anyway. When you get Urseg in the seventh or Urseg in the eighth, and people are wondering why the closer isn't in the ninth. Because if you don't close out the seventh or eighth, you're not getting to the ninth inning right now. And the Royals have to do that. And so I'm interested to see how he's going to manage this game. I'm excited to see how they're going to shape up and face, you know, against New York in a big type of situation. These are the biggest three games that this current ball club has ever played. It's going into a buzzsaw in New York, and let's see what the Royals can do.
Coming up on the other side, we dive into college weekend and why I became the biggest hater in my friend's circle. Bob, Dusty, Mac, this is Fesco and Dusty on X5, the Fan, your home of Kansas City Sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Chiefs football, 96.5, The Fan.